to know. At 10 o'clock, it's the Heather McCoy Show. And then at 11, Between the Covers, host Ken Jones talks with Karen Russell, author of the new book Orange World and Other Stories. And at 11:30, it's Words and Pictures. Zippy the Pinhead creator Bill Griffith recounts his long career from underground comics to graphic memoirs. Don't forget that you can hear all of these programs after they air on KBOO.FM or on iTunes and Google Play. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm or use your mobile app and click on donate.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 2019 Juneteenth celebration on Saturday, June 22nd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Clark College Hanna Hall in Vancouver, Washington. The theme of the 7th annual Juneteenth celebration is Together We Rise. This theme addresses the idea that together we rise above the fray of hatred, despair, and discord. The celebration features a job fair, panels, awards, contests, an art gallery, live entertainment, and more. Again, that's the 2019 Juneteenth celebration on Saturday, June 22nd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Clark College Hanna Hall, 1933 Fort Vancouver Way in Vancouver, Washington. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Watch a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. This is the day in which everything I planned to do got switched up. Things kept changing, even as I came into the air, so I want to ask you in advance to forgive me for what is going to be somewhat clumsy broadcast because information is still coming in on a couple of headline items, and I want to get some of that from Twitter because that's a good way to get the latest. And the first thing I'm going to search is Memphis, and the printed news that I have is that armed officers and an angry crowd faced off after a black man was fatally shot in a confrontation with U.S. Marshals in a working-class Memphis neighborhood. This is the AP copy, and they go on to say, people in the crowd threw rocks and bricks, with 25 officers suffering mostly minor injuries during the tense clash last night in the Fraser community in North Memphis. Officers cordoned off several blocks near the scene. By 11 p.m., officers had used tear gas and most of the crowd dispersed. Three people arrested. And they had officers on horseback and lines of police cars. And it's quite a scene if you've seen the video. Another black man has been gunned down. That's what it's about. It's not actually about this individual case. So I'm going to do a call-in show today, and I invite your comments and questions. But I want to say in advance that I really don't care about the particulars of this case. This isn't about one person getting killed. This is about all the black men who are constantly being gunned down by police departments across the nation. And people are rioting. And it's pretty predictable and probably should be. And then locally, from the Mercury, Portland Police Bureau is seeking information from the public about the May 27th death of T.D. Gully, a black transgender homeless person who was found hanging from a tree in Rocky Butte Park. It says that though her death had been declared a suicide by Multnomah County Medical Examiner, her family had reason to believe she may have been murdered. And why is that? Because she was hanging from a tree. So possible lynching on Rocky Butte. And I guess Rocky Butte would be a good place to do it if you wanted to do something horrible like that, because it gets pretty lonesome and quiet up there by the cemetery, and the police, you know, since the 27th, the police hadn't been moving on this. They just said they found a dead person and they were ready to move on. And that goes, again, to the context. And I suppose if my news gathering were not so, not so scattered, it came out shattered this morning, I would put that under the category of this week in whiteness. Because already you can bet that the excuses for the shooting of the man in Memphis are coming out in an effort to obscure the fact that black men are regularly gunned down. And again, I don't care about the details. The police have lost the right to say except for this. It's just way past that point. So the number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. But wait, don't call in yet because there's more breaking news. And this probably has to do with John Bolton. You remember a week or so ago, there were some little explosions which were pretty obvious to me, false flag attacks. They weren't big enough to seriously harm the tankers in the Gulf of Oman near the Strait of Hormuz, but they were obviously attempts to blame Iran while John Bolton was trying to cook up a war. Well, now it would appear that major oil tankers, have been hit by torpedoes again in the Gulf of Oman, again near the Strait of Hormuz. Oil prices are already rising. So I'm going to give you two news sources on this, and again, I will turn to Twitter. Two oil tankers have been evacuated in the Gulf of Oman following reported attacks on the vessels, prompting international alarm and sending oil prices spiraling upwards. Scores of crew members from Marshall Islands flagged Front Altair and the Panama flagged Cocuca Courageous abandoned the ships on Thursday after sending out distress calls amid explosions on board. The cause of the blast is unclear, but one operator said it suspected its ship had been hit by a torpedo. And, speaking for myself, if the photo that's going around is correct, then yeah, that looks like a torpedo hit directly amidships. A good hit for whoever the sailor was. Iran's Islamic Republic News Agency, IRNA, reported that Iranian search and rescue teams picked up 44 sailors, 21 from the Cocuca Courageous and 23 from the Front Altair, following the incidents and took them to the nearby port of Jask. I want you to follow this because there's much more to this. It's not just in the context of the previous attacks and of Bolton's desire to promote a war. It would also appear that both ships, whereas they were flagged Marshall Islands and Panama flagged, as people do, they are owned by Japanese companies, and the Japanese government right now is negotiating with Iran, so I'll have more on that in just a moment. I think that this is splashing all over the news right now, so follow this because I think this is... This is Bolton's makeup move. This is almost certainly the only group that could possibly benefit from this is Bolton and Pompeo wanting a war with Iran. Iran could not have done this. They know perfectly well that blowing up ships near the Strait of Hormuz is something that they would do in retaliation after a massive bombing raid. It's something that they've threatened to do if they are attacked. They do not benefit from this at all. Of course, it makes them look bad. And it's a great thing for Bolton going around trying to push this war on the Pentagon and on Trump. So more from the Al Jazeera site. The Cocuca Courageous remains in the area and is not in any danger of sinking. The cargo of methanol is intact. Front Altair, meanwhile, had been chartered by Taiwan State Oil Refiner, CBC Corp, and was carrying 75,000 tons of naphtha. And it was suspected of being hit by a torpedo and is burning big time and drifting. It is at the time of the writing from Al Jazeera, it had not sunk. I want to say about Al Jazeera that is the Omani Emirates website. And they are a good source of information on what's going on in the Middle East, but of course they are going to represent what the Emirate wants, and the king is going to want to keep things cool between them and the U.S. So they're not going to go the whole route, but you get much more details from what they are reporting. Now, turning to the Iranian news agency, Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman described as suspicious the attack on two Japanese oil tankers in the Sea of Oman and its coincidence with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's meeting with Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. In a message which was released on Twitter, Abbas Mousavi expressed concern over suspicious accidents to Japanese trade tankers in the Sea of Oman that happened at the same time with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe meeting with the Ayatollah. He described this act as being in contrast with regional and trans-regional positions and efforts to de-escalate tension. Mousavi reiterated that Iran supports negotiations and cooperation in the region. Meanwhile, Iran Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif said, quote, reported attacks on Japan-related tankers occurred while Prime Minister Abe Shinzo was meeting with Ayatollah Khamenei for extensive and friendly talks, so suspicious doesn't begin to describe what likely transpired this morning. Iran's proposed regional dialogue forum is imperative, end quote. And I'll elaborate on this later, but I suspect the next thing that you're going to hear is either that robot rocket bombs, what they call them, cruise missiles, are being shut off from ships in the Gulf, and maybe CNN's got their cameramen there already. They used to call those V1s. Hitler invented them. Carrier groups there in the Gulf, the U.S. carrier groups are tracking a submarine. Will probably sink that and say that they've, you know, got the perpetrators. And again, I think that all of this is a lie, an attempt to make us go to war. And shortly I'll be presenting the phone numbers for the White House and for our congressional delegation. But right now I want to go to Mike, who's been patiently on hold. Hi, Mike. You there, Mike?
Keep up the good work. I just wanted to real quickly, our media and our judiciary are both completely owned by the big money people. You know, our all of our news and the judiciary. That's a right left blow to our. Why aren't people paying attention to that?
Well, I think a lot of people are onto it, and a lot of people are in denial.
Yeah, our media, our news, and our courts are owned by the big money.
Well, I can only agree.
Okay. Keep up the good work.
Well, thanks. Go ahead. Okay. Well, after all these years, I remember talking about Ben Bagdikian's book, Media Monopoly, and the number of corporations maintaining a hegemony over the major broadcasters shrank and shrank. Until now, it's just ridiculous, and now the news departments themselves have shrunk and shrunk, and it becomes increasingly difficult to get information, which is why I continue to find news sources abroad and to characterize those news sources and present them to you. You can find our IRNA. I suppose the easiest way would be to put Iranian news in the search engine if you're online, and search from there. Again, it would appear that a major war provocation is going down in the Gulf of Oman near the Strait of Hormuz. Strait of Hormuz, as you probably know, is a big turn between the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman, where the oil tankers must go, particularly from Iran, but the world's oil traffic goes through there. And any such action, you know, what's going on right now with tankers floating loose and burning is a disruption to the traffic, and looks bad on the U.S. corporate-owned media, on the world corporate-owned media versus Iran. However, this is transparently a false flag attack. Iran would not benefit from this. And if the tanker that is burning was indeed torpedoed, that would be a major escalation, even as a false flag attack. So that's going on. The number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. But I have another number for you, and that will be 202-224-3121. 3121. That's not free, but you can get through to senators and representatives in Washington by calling the U.S. Capitol switchboard number. That's 224-3121. Now, here's some more numbers. If you'll write these down, I'm going to repeat these, so don't worry about it. See if you can find something to write with. Because it is time to begin to move, if you haven't already, against the war that is being promoted against Iran by actors, notably John Bolton, in the White House. 202-224-5244 is Senator Ron Wyden. That's at his Washington office. But you can call locally. You can call Ron Wyden's local office, 503-326-7525. I may get around to Washington numbers in a minute because I know you're listening to me in Vancouver. Right now, I'll just give the Portland numbers. Senator Jeff Merkley can be reached. His local number is 503-326-3386. I'll come back around to those. But the big point I'm trying to make here is war is afoot. Oil tankers are burning and drifting in the Gulf of Oman near the Strait of Hormuz. And I'm going to, as I said, all my plans have been derailed by these two breaking news items. One, that there has been a huge demonstration against police violence in Memphis. And secondly, that there is an ongoing apparent war provocation, false flag attack in the Gulf of Oman. So I'll be trying to search about that as we go on. Number to call here with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And I see from the Google News headlines that already even CNN is doubting that Iran has hit these tankers, because their headline is, "Iran will get the blame, but the Gulf of Oman truth is likely a lot murkier." Now, that surprises me, because I'm used to CNN going full flag-waving imperialist, and they may any second. But it is encouraging to see at least that headline, "Iran will get the blame, but the Gulf of Oman truth is likely a lot murkier." But I am asking you to now mobilize. If you are against U.S. imperial wars, this is the moment. Again, to call here, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I have some, I was going to have Extinction Rebellion in here. That was my big plan. And they called yesterday and couldn't make it. So the good news is they are going to be able to be here next week. And I have a lot of text that I would like to present. If there is time. Although really, I don't know. I mean, it seems when war is afoot, particularly on KBOO Air, there is an obligation to help the anti-war mobilization move forward, if nothing else, because it is immoral not to. But I had put together some environmental news, and I'll look forward to talking with Extinction Rebellion next week, and I do have some items which should alarm you about the state of the planet right now. I know the there's an onus to being an environmental alarmist, and don't much care. When your house is on fire, you raise the alarm. That's the right thing to do. And so I'm an alarmist, and you know, let's go with that alarmism. 503-231-8187, and my co-broadcaster, Per Fogring, has called in. Hi, Per.
Hey, good morning, Teresa. How you doing?
Pretty well, pretty well. And you?
Well, okay. I'm up and about. Anyway, it's very interesting about the ships in the Hormuz Strait, because there's an article the other day, I think it was by Matt Taibbi, saying that John Bolton is on his way out.
Huh. Well, not soon enough, apparently.
Well, apparently he's too much of a bully even for Donald Trump. So, for what it's worth, I mean, I would recommend looking up that article. You know, get more details. But I remember reading it the other day.
All right. Well, yeah, that's good news.
I think so. You know, I have to say this. You know, everyone talks about Trump being crazy, which he is, but I think in some ways John Bolton is even crazier and even more dangerous.
Yeah, really. I mean, because Bolton has had his connections with the more aggressive factions in the Pentagon for all these for decades now.
That's right.
He knows his people, can connect with them immediately, and he may have already started it going, whether he's going out or not.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Because,
yeah,
you know, you've seen the bumper sticker in Iraq, you know, with the queue moving over to allow the end in, as if it were an odometer. And I subscribe to that kind of cynicism because it's only once full hegemony has been achieved, absolute hegemony, that they'll stop making wars in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm glad you're on top of this. This is a developing story, all right.
Yeah, it really is. And meanwhile, looking at Twitter, things are coming across. Man fatally shot, 25 officers hurt in Memphis, angry crowds protest in Fraser neighborhoods. This is going on.
Wow. So, this is just last night or still going on now then?
Last night, and according to Twitter, protests are still organizing.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I'll leave it at that. Hey, I'll be tuning in.
Okay, thanks.
Sure, bye.
Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and trying to supplement the news that I've pulled from Al Jazeera, which, as I said, is the Omani news source and the Iranian official news source, with news coming in from Twitter. The Press 5 reports two tankers explode near the Persian Gulf. Many blame Iran, but apparently the oil markets are calming down. Let's see, from China Hand, Iran is complaining about the U.S. petrochemical ban, not Japan's. That rather complicates things, sorry. Two tankers attacked in the Gulf of Oman. And the U.S. is, get this, not ruling out that Iran is responsible. Now, that's from ABC News. A war provocation, in my opinion. I'd be interested in your opinion. The number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. It's 9:22 in the morning Pacific time. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. This show is called Press Watch. Coming up this morning at 10 o'clock, it'll be Heather McCoy. Heather McCoy Show at 11, Between the Covers. Host Ken Jones talks with Karen Russell, author of a new book, Orange World and Other Stories. At 11:30, Words and Pictures, Zippy the Pinhead creator Bill Griffith will be here. Well, excuse me, will be recounting his long career. Not here. Don't rush to the station. He recounts his long career from underground comics to graphic memoirs. Don't forget that you can hear all of these programs after they air on KBOO.fm or on iTunes and Google Play. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to KBOO.fm or use our mobile app and click on Donate. All right, I've been talking about war provocations and been asking for your calls, your comments, been asking for you to mobilize. I'm going to give you that number, those numbers, again, that I promised, congressional delegation, so that you can do something immediately about oil tankers apparently exploding from torpedoes. You know, looks like Bolton's kind of work. Looks like a false flag to me. I don't know what else it could be because no one else would benefit but the war faction in the U.S. at the White House and Pentagon. The general number to call any senator or representative at the U.S. Capitol switchboard is 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. That's not toll-free. Here's a local number for Senator Ron Wyden. Call his office at 503-326-7525. And I don't think that Senator Wyden is particularly pro-war, but he is pro-Israel, and that can that has historically torqued things. So maybe you should call him first, 503-326-7525. And I guess my complaint is that he is rather uncritically pro-Israel at times. And that slides over to Israeli militarism, which is what I'm opposed to, not Israel. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley, 503-326-3386. 503-326-3386. If you're against war, it is time to get a move on. Pull up the news, watch those tankers burn, and decide what you're going to do, please. I won't crowd the broadcast with the numbers of the U.S. representatives, but you can call them too, and you can find their numbers easily enough. Number here to call, 503-231-8187. Again, I apologize for the clumsiness of this particular broadcast because my circumstance has derailed my plans, both in terms of what I had prepared and in terms of who I intended to interview. And so there is breaking news, and I want to make sure that you have that news and that you have an alternative take on it. Because if there's one thing that gets very strongly polarized in U.S. and corporate news reporting, it is war news. And this, I believe, is war news. Terrible risk of war with Iran right now. Now, keeping that in mind and asking you to call in 503-231-8187, I want to give you some more news. This from Radio Havana, Cuba. The Israeli forces have opened fire on a Palestinian security headquarters in the occupied West Bank of Nablus, injuring at least one Palestinian officer. The Nablus governor said that a group of Israeli soldiers targeted the headquarters by blockading the building and then shot at it directly and without justification, wounding one security guard and causing property damage. Other reports suggested two Palestinian security officials were wounded during the attack. Speaking for myself, I suspect this also has the characteristic of being a provocation. But returning to the text, the Israeli military claimed that the troops had opened fire as they mistook the Palestinian security forces for suspects while searching the area for terrorists. You can put those words in scare quotes, and you know which ones. But Ramadan dismissed the claims as fabrication and noted that the Israeli forces had opened fire on the building without justification. Ramadan said, quote, "We must not remain silent before such acts. Their goal was to kill. The bullets broke the windows and hit the offices." He said this attack's not the first and won't be the last, especially amid the current serious escalation against Palestinians, their homes, and land. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And Jerry is on the line.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Jerry.
I came in a little late on your broadcast, so I don't know if you mentioned maybe that Israel, since they hate Iran so much and want to use the U.S. military to help them in a war against Iran, perhaps they are involved in this false flag type thing. And the other thing is, yesterday, of course, Donald Trump pretty much admitted that he's a traitor and that he would do it again for the next election. So maybe they're like, since even some Republicans and people on the right are moved by something as serious as his treason or whatever, that, you know, now the talk of impeachment is ratcheting up and things like that. So, you know, let's have somebody bomb the ships and take the news off of Trump's craziness.
Yeah, time to wag the dog. Maybe you're referring to the Common Dreams article titled "Warren and Sanders Lead Calls for Immediate Impeachment Hearings After Trump Says He Would Welcome Dirt from Foreign Power in 2020. Senator Bernie Sanders is quoted saying, "We have a president who thinks he is above the law. The House should immediately begin impeachment inquiries."
Correct. Yep. Well, that's all I wanted to say. Thanks for your great show, as usual.
Thanks for calling in. Once again, number to call, 503-231-8187. I'll go to the next caller, and that's LJ, I think.
LJ dropped. I think we're
going
to go to Kevin.
Okay. Call back in if you want, LJ. Let's go to Kevin. You there, Kevin?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Thanks, Teresa, for your show. I appreciate it. I just wanted to make a comment, too, on I agree with you about the whole Bolton issue and they're trying to manufacture something here, and Moon of Alabama came out today too with an article about the reasons why Iran wouldn't have done this. They're in negotiations now. This would be virtually the opposite of what they would want to happen at this point. And I do believe that, you know, they're trying to create. I don't think this is initially, as you pointed out, CNN, nobody's quite jumping on this like they could jump on it. When I say they, I mean the media, the mainstream media. But on the other hand, you do have the beginnings of a enough of a war in which, it creates to the, it says to the public, these Iranians are bad guys. And even if this isn't there, we can't directly link this. I'm sorry, I'm getting feedback on my own voice here.
It's confusing because we have a delay.
Okay, it's a matter of causing confusing to the public. If they already feel that the Iranians are enemies, and you begin to put out this kind of thing and say it's Iranians again, probably or maybe, that's just building a case for whatever we ultimately want to do with the Iranians, which means war.
I think you're right.
We have good reason to believe it.
Yeah, and I think that thanks for that opinion. I think you're right, and I think that you will see quotes now from Iranian authorities saying we could close the Strait of Hormuz, but they won't give you the context. And the context has always been, if you blow us up, we'll close the Strait of Hormuz,
which
I think is pretty reasonable.
Reasonable. Yeah. The other thing I've read, and actually it was, I believe I read it on Moon of Alabama as well. This was last week or a week and a half ago, where this whole idea of saber rattling that the Trump administration has been putting out there, they've kind of backed off. It's kind of quieted down because in this article they pointed out that if the Iranians would in fact close this strait down, that where 20% of the oil reserves for the world come out of this strait, it would affect the derivative market to such a degree that it would cause an enormous, not a collapse, but a panic. And you have $22 trillion, that's a conservative estimate, wrapped up in derivatives. And to start to look at that market and shake it up, nobody wants that. And so there's been this kind of pullback, as I understand it, from the United States that If they're thinking of this, then we maybe need to reconsider our approach. Now, that doesn't mean that Bolton would consider another approach, but there may be saner minds in the administration, and I use saner.
I have to agree, except loosely. That I would say from my personal experience and all the decades that we've seen these wars go forward, no matter how wide the protests, we need to take it a step further. And if we want to stop this war, we've got to stop economic activity in the nation. We have to have a general strike. And I don't know if Americans are ready for that, but we need to. That's what it's going to take.
Now, I agree with you. I think that you hit on it. It's going to come from the people. There's going to have to be mass movements. And without the creating mass movements, we certainly can't expect the people at the top to change much. It's going to come from us.
Okay, well, thank you very much for those opinions. And I'm going to go to LJ next. I think LJ is next in the queue. Oh, Ravi. Hello, Ravi. You're there.
Hi. I just wanted to bring up the USS Liberty incident. I don't know if your listeners are aware, but Israel actually attacked an American research vessel in 1967 and near the Sinai Peninsula. Anyway, the reason I bring this up is because it's a false flag, and Israel definitely is in control of America. A lot of people think it's the other way around. You know, we're providing them with all the support, all the, you know, war machine stuff. But when you kind of look at history, these kinds of incidences, and what it says on this thing is that Israeli and U.S. governments conducted inquiries and issued that the attack was a mistake. However, the survivors, which there was 34 dead and 144 that were wounded on this ship, being attacked by an Israeli, multiple Israeli aircraft and a vessel, torpedo boats. The survivors had said that they rejected these conclusions and maintained that the attack was deliberate.
Their narrative is convincing too, because they were, you know, waving at those planes, "Hey, you know, American flag, what the hell?" And the justice kept coming.
Right.
So yeah, it was intentional. Yeah. Exactly how many factors were behind it, I'm not sure, but Israeli forces nearly sunk that ship.
And very ironically, right around that same time, I think in '66 maybe or '60, I'll have to look it up. But the Gulf of Tonkin was a false flag operation that got us into Vietnam. And so, anyway, I just wanted to bring up the Liberty incident. A lot of people aren't aware that Israel attacked America. And NSA was saying that there was no radio intercepts about the attack. It seems like there is that war machine that's kind of driving all this stuff. Anyway, I really appreciate what you're doing, Teresa. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Let's see. Apparently, oil futures are up 3 or 4% at the moment. I'll go to LJ. Number to call, 503-231-8187.
Hey, Teresa, how are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Okay, pretty darn good. Okay, listen, just a couple of things that's already been said. Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel have been pushing the United States into doing their dirty work in Iran for a very, very long time. I would be very, very suspicious of this false flag attack. I am sure that the Jewish state of Israel is behind this. And also, the Saudis would love to have a war with Iran as well. It's a power thing. And just one more quick point. Everybody knows that Israel has a nuclear power, a nuclear bomb program, but nobody talks about it. They are a nuclear force with nuclear and biological weapons, and nobody speaks about it. Again, thank you so much for what you do. Have a wonderful day, and give my best regards to Ani, because I haven't heard her on the air for a while. Take care.
Thank you. All right. Mordecai Vanunu is the answer to that. Look up Mordecai Vanunu. Find out about the story of how the Israeli nuclear program was exposed. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Again, I want to repeat some of the headlines, which appropriately derailed my news agenda for this morning. Two oil tankers have been evacuated in the Gulf of Oman following reported attacks on the vessels, prompting international alarm and sending oil prices spiraling upwards. Scores of crew members from the Front Altair and the Kokuka Courageous abandoned ship. Cause of the blast is unclear, but one operator said it suspected the ship had been hit by a torpedo. Once again, looking at the photograph that's been made available, I don't know whether it's been verified. It certainly looks like an amidships torpedo hit. Good shooting, somebody. Norway's Frontline Shipping Company, which owns the Front Altair, said its vessel was on fire. Frontline said the ship was afloat, denying a report by Iran's agency that it had sunk. It said the crew of 23, comprised of 11 Russians, 11 Filipinos, and one Georgian, were rescued by the Hyundai Dubai and transferred to an Iranian Navy vessel. The Iranians have rescued the sailors from both ships. And if you look at the news roll, you can see that officials in the U.S. are already pointing blame at Iran for this, which is just ridiculous. It is clearly a war provocation. Exactly who shot the torpedo, I don't know, but I seriously doubt it was the people who have the most to lose from such an incident. The number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Now, for Trump's base, what I just said, my logic on that, won't wash, because Trump's base has been encouraged to be increasingly racist, and so they're going to believe that Iranians are inferior and therefore so crazy that they'll shoot up an oil tanker against their own interests. But that doesn't change things. That doesn't logically follow, and it won't, ever. The question now is, what will the U.S., quote, response, end quote, be pardon me for doing air scare quotes. What will the U.S. response be? It won't be a response. What will the U.S. follow on this with? And it'll be interesting to see whether it will be an attempt to sink a submarine or an excuse to shoot off cruise missiles into Iran, or will it just be allowed to stay out there, and will a smear campaign then build up against Iran so they can go to war later? In any event, I encourage you, if you are against imperial wars, to now contact your congressman. And that would be, you can contact senators, Ron Wyden. His local number is 503-326-7525. Call the office, be polite, tell him what you think about it, the tankers being torpedoed. And Senator Jeff Merkley, 503-326-3386. I'll repeat those numbers if I remember to do it. But the number to call here with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Continuing with the article from Al Jazeera, frictions have escalated in the Middle East in recent weeks, including over the earlier attack on oil tankers off the coast of the UAE last month. U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton blamed Iran for the May 12th incidents without offering evidence. The United Arab Emirates, meanwhile, claimed the preliminary findings of a probe into the attacks revealed they were part of a coordinated operation likely carried out by a state actor, but stopped short of pinning the blame on any specific country. Smart of them. The Kokuka Courageous tankers, 21 crew members, have abandoned ship. Tensions between the United States and Iran are simmering after more than a year of increasingly fractious relations unleashed by President Donald Trump's decision in May 2018 to withdraw from a landmark nuclear deal. Speaking for myself, that was Obama's deal. And what Trump does has to do with Trump. And Trump hates everything Obama did, hates Obama, and so he is withdrawn from the deal. Under the 2015 agreement, they write, Iran agreed to scale back its nuclear program in exchange for a lifting of economic sanctions since pulling out of the nuclear deal. The White House has rolled out a maximum pressure policy against Iran. As part of that, Trump's administration reimposed punitive sanctions and moved to cut the country's oil exports to zero, sending its economy into freefall. The U.S. also blacklisted Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps as a terrorist group, which prompted a tit-for-tat response from Tehran last month. Washington bolstered its military presence in the Gulf in response to an unspecified threat from Iran. So you can see that this has been building up for a while, and that is, again, from the Omani news agency Al Jazeera. Numbers for senators, if you are against the escalation of war and the possibility of war against Iran, then that would be Ron Wyden at 503-326-7525, and Senator Jeff Merkley at 503-326-3386. I had some other news items ready, and I'm going to go to a couple of those. It's 43 after the top of the hour. 43 after the hour, I mean to say. And there is other news. For example, the Vatican has launched on transgender people following on the Trump administration's various bizarre attacks and restrictions. Quoting the New York Daily News, an article by Murray Asensau, the Vatican released a statement Monday, strongly denying the notion of gender fluidity, calling the idea of gender identity as an educational crisis, quoting, especially in the field of affectivity and sexuality, end quote. A 31-page long document entitled Male and Female, He Created Them, criticizes the idea that someone's gender identity or expression can be different from the sex that they were assigned to at birth. The concept of a fluid gender is, quote, founded on nothing more than a confused concept of freedom in the realm of feelings and wants, end quote. Now, I'm sitting here, And this, as if you listen to my show before, you know how ridiculous that is to me, sitting here intersexed as I am, with the female tissues remaining in me and the male tissues removed, and the idea that, well, let me just continue. It's just ridiculous. And my first response is, yeah, emotional. I want to say, shut up, you boneheads. Can't you crack a book? What is wrong with you, Vatican? But anyway, critics say that the document, which is issued by the Congregation for Catholic Education as a teaching guidance for those educating children, can be dangerous to younger LGBTQ people. And I have to comment, well, that's no doubt of that. And gee, seems like I seem to recall something about the Catholic Church and young ones. What could that be? I believe the word abuse comes in. Quoting Outright Action International, Deputy Executive Director Maria Sjuden, with a particular focus on education in young people, the document is likely to have an especially harmful effect on LGBTIQ youth. While it states that young people should be taught to respect everyone and no one should be subjected to bullying, in fact, it promotes the opposite, end quote. And I think she's got that down. So you can find that at New York Daily News. I'll go to the next caller, 503-231-8187. And Sue's on the air.
Hi. Didn't anticipate the change in subject. Just one.
No, we can go right back to all this. That's the main subject. We can talk about war, talk about Memphis. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I would point out that if other countries had put the kinds of sanctions on that we've put on Iran, Venezuela, and Cuba, we would have called that a declaration of war.
Yeah,
we've been waging war ever since we put sanctions on those. That's my...
Well, I think you're right. And Cuba, for example, is also getting rather defiant.
Oh, yeah. Got to punish that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, we've been punishing Cuba since 1958. And, they're having none of it. The texts from the Radio Havana site say, you know, not only do we not accept your aggression, but you can't take us.
Yeah, I was so disappointed because I went there a couple of years ago and I was really planning on going back again very soon, and now I have to wait till Trump's out of office.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, thank you for all you do.
Well, thanks for calling in. Yeah, I went to Cuba in 96, and I've gotten all kinds of grief for that. They searched me several times. The U.S., this is before the TSA, as you know, I was searched several times. At one point, I yelled at officers coming towards me for a third time in the airport in Dallas. I said, would you like to search my, I can't say it on the air, to see if I put any Cuban cigars up there, and I embarrassed them. They actually turned around. But State Department has done things like they took my birth certificate when I applied for a passport again. Literally took it, and I forced them to apologize for it and pay back the money, but they never gave me back my birth certificate. There are elements in the U.S. that will hate you forever going to Cuba. And they have this mythology that they tell themselves that the Cubans killed Kennedy. Again, why would they benefit from that? But I'll go to the next caller, 503-231-8187. John is next.
Yeah, now that we're on the subject of Iran.
Yes.
There was a movie that was made by the BBC in 1984. It was called Threads. And what it did, this movie was sort of like, I don't know if you remember back when ABC... was doing, you know, Monday night at the movies before Monday night football. But anyway, this movie was following a NATO playbook about how World War III would you know, evolve. And it started with oil tankers being torpedoed in the Gulf of Hormuz.
Maybe that's where Bolton gets his ideas, huh?
Well, the movie was... I don't know. It was pretty factual. I mean, factual, like it was using, you know, like teletypes about, you know, how things would occur, you know, incrementally. But it was pretty kind of, well, kind of disturbing. Because, you know, like in, when Europeans do a war movie, it's a little bit more detailed than like what Americans do, because, you know, like every day was 911 there for like 4 years. So I, it's called Threads, English movie, 1984. And it did, and it was also the start of World War III happened in the Persian Gulf. Just like the, if you want to get a little bit of context, you know.
Kind of scary.
Well, yeah, I, it had some corny stuff because it had, you know, human events things, you know, to keep it together and all that kind of stuff. But it did start out with oil tankers being torpedoed in the Gulf of Hormuz.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to interject that, you know, that was a little bit too much of a coincidence when I heard about this news.
Oh, well, thanks.
But anyway,
thanks for adding that in.
Thanks for your time. Yeah, bye-bye.
All right, number to call, 503-231-8187. I, you know, you would think that even the planners in the U.S. and other nuclear powers would do everything possible to avoid nuclear war, and certainly there have been some scary incidents in which people who were not all that high up in the command actually prevented a nuclear war as it was moving forward due to false readings on radar, etc. Probably you're familiar with that, but I would say things might be changing for the worse because, you know, John Bolton doesn't have to worry so much as you do about being vaporized by a nuclear attack. He and his buddies and everyone he cares about have the deepest bunkers in the world with the biggest blast doors that were ever made, and they have confidence that they can get into their bunkers, and there's a hell of a lot of them. If you start researching bunkers, you're going to be shocked. The people who would start a nuclear war aren't the people who would be destroyed by it, and there's some danger there. Number to call, 503-231-8187, and Elliot is next.
Yes, Teresa. Look, the Middle East is a social and moral toothache and very hard issue, but it's too easy to just be politically correct and blame the U.S. and Israel for everything, because Chomsky and Nader can get on their soapbox about how terrible U.S. and Israel is, but even though I would like to see a really humane solution, I'd like to give the Gazans part of the Negev, and I'd like to connect the West Bank and Gaza with a combined rail and road link with an underground tunnel between Gaza and the West Bank. But the Israelis have to deal with the fact that they constructed those barrier walls and they segregated people when they were having continual suicide vest detonations of buses and restaurants, which is not the easiest thing in the world to live with. And
certainly
I'm
not, but as I've always said in response to that,
Palestinians, but what
as I've always said in response to that, can we have a conversation?
To go into the sea?
Can we talk?
They belong there for
Hello?
More than 2,000 years.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to drop your call so I can respond. What I always say to that is I would be in favor of an even-handed solution. The Palestinians can turn in all of their nuclear-armed submarines. The Palestinians can turn in all of their satellite-coordinated logistics. Palestinians can turn in all of their tanks, and the Israelis can too, just to be fair. Also, if I stole your car and was driving around in it, and you complained about that, and I said, well, I don't want to give you a car, what would be wrong with that statement? Number to call, 503-231-8187. And John's on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
About a month ago, I found somewhere on the internet. Hang on a second. I'm on the phone. About a month ago, I found somewhere on the internet that Eric Prince was talking to Donald Trump, and I immediately conjectured that, well, they're scheming something, and here it is only a month. So I tried to look on the internet, on the Google, to see if I could find anything about that, and of course I can't, but I'm sure you have better search methods. Maybe
well, I've just got the same computer everybody else has, and I try to stay off the dirtier part of the web. But I know what you're talking about, and you really have to wonder if Prince's organization, whatever he's calling it these days, it's not Blackwater, it's not Z or whatever they called it, has gotten themselves a submarine, because they are available, and he has the money for it.
Wasn't there some attack a month or two ago? So I think these are frogmen or submarines doing.
Yeah, the other attack looked like Navy SEAL type operators, and this one kind of looks like a torpedo.
Yeah, Eric's been trying to drum up business for himself, and he hasn't been very successful. So I think he's found his niche now.
Yeah, and that would be a question about the details. I mean, as to, you know, what the actual, say it was a submarine, who owns the submarine? That'd be interesting. But I think it's just plainly obvious who benefits from this and who set it up.
Yep. Well, carry on. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. And the number to call, 503-231-8187. Okay. And now I've gone over a few topics here. One thing that I was talking about earlier this morning and I want to ask you to pay attention to is that Memphis is... seeing some major demonstrations against police violence, and so that sort of activity is happening and may increase today. And also, I started off with an article from Mercury indicating that the Portland Police Bureau finally is seeking information from the public about the May 27th death of Otis, or actually T.T. Gully, a black transgender homeless person who was found hanging from a tree in Rocky Butte Park. And if you know Rocky Butte, it's a lonesome place. And, you know, just that is suspicious. And there were rumors from Gully's friends and acquaintances suggesting foul play. Some even mentioned, according to the Mercury article, having video evidence of her alleged murder. So Portland Police Bureau asked anyone with information to call them. Too bad we don't have another bureau to call. I've been talking about the tankers that are burning in the Gulf of Oman. Again, this is significant because... a huge part of the oil in the world, maybe it's most, goes through that tight point, the Strait of Hormuz, H-O-R-M-U-Z, Hormuz, and it's been a flashpoint for a long time. There was some back and forth between Iran and Iraq during their war in the 80s. With oil tankers, and the U.S. tried to make that a casus belli back then. So it's not even the first time the U.S. has been doing this sort of thing. There are major aircraft carrier groups, which means dozens of U.S. major capital ships are in the U.S. They never tell you where the submarines are, but U.S. submarines are certainly there. And this is all in the context of this threat. And this bluster that John Bolton has been making versus Iran. So it certainly looks like the U.S. or some faction in the employ of the U.S. has blown up tankers in the Gulf near the Strait of Hormuz, Gulf of Oman. And I encourage you to call your senator or congressperson about this right away. As an immediate start to the activity that must move forward if we have any chance of shutting down the U.S. versus Iran war, which I'd say we're in grave danger of right now. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell, and please stay tuned for the Heather McCoy Show coming up next. You've been listening on 90.7 FM from our great big red and white transmitter on the Hill, and from KBOO.FM, in which manner we go out to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Events Committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 10 o'clock. Coming up next, it's a rebroadcast of Heather McCoy's interview with Eve Ensler, author of The Vagina Monologues and the recent bestseller The Apology. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Ken Jones talks with Karen Russell, author of the new book Orange World and Other Stories. And at 11:30, Words and Pictures. Zippy the Pinhead creator Bill Griffith recounts his long career from underground comics to graphic memoirs. Don't forget that you can hear all these programs after they air on KBOO.fm or on iTunes and Google Play. All of these KABU programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm or use our mobile app and click on Donate.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 50th anniversary of Oxamoxwa with the Garcia Birthday Band on Friday, June 14th at 8 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Oxamoxwa is a 1969 album by the Grateful Dead. Fans and critics alike consider this era to be the band's experimental apex. The Garcia Birthday Band is a group of veteran musicians interpreting and celebrating the repertoire of the late Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead. Again, that's the 50th anniversary.